Well, I'm excited about being here, and it says here that the boys are 500 points behind the girls. But didn't they just win this one right here? You won two? Watch this. With the stroke of a pen, I can do that to the girls and add 50,000 points to the guys. What do you think, girls? Your only salvation is I'm not the pastor here. Amen. So that's your only... You know what? Last night I was preaching along, and I couldn't figure out what was going on with me, and I thought, boy, I got a good sniffer. Now, that's all there is to it. Not a big nose, a good sniffer. Because every time I'd pass here, I would smell butter popcorn. And I'm thinking to myself, they really have done a great job because I'm smelling the popcorn. Then it dawned on me just now what I was smelling. I am smelling popcorn. Man, I love popcorn. Let me tell you something. When you're a Baptist family and you have nothing, popcorn after church Sunday night. Cheap bologna, day-old bread, and popcorn. How many do not know the joy of mama taking the newspaper, spreading it out, cooking the popcorn, and throwing it on top? How many, the only kind of popcorn you eat is microwave. Raise your hand. That's it. Oh, you have no idea. You have no idea. Get you about a gallon of oil and get you about 2 bushels of popcorn kernels and put them in a little pot. Let it boil. Put 1 stick of butter in there. Put the kernel in and just let it pop. Now, if I really wanted to do this church a disfavor, I'd throw this popcorn at you. Dear pastor, please don't do that. And anyway, so we'll put that right down there. Do you know I was... Make sure I got it all. You think I'm kidding now. I'm taking that popcorn with me. So do you know last night, did y'all hear that noise last night? Yes. And yesterday I heard it over here. And then I heard it behind me, and I'm thinking, a seventh grader's done gotten loose inside the walls. And then they informed me that it was frogs. Now, in Texas, we don't have frogs that big. That was one frog crawling along the building. Right now, the frog's sitting on top of the building, and that's all there is to it. I was sitting up here, and whenever I go preach someplace, the secretaries, I write down my sermons, and then I give them back the card. They type it all up. And so I'm sitting here, and before I was coming on this trip, I got this card down, and they give it to me about 2 weeks ahead of time before I go places. And so I'm going back over the sermons, and I've been coming. I need my eye bobs. And by the way, to be made fun of. Let me tell you something. I enjoyed every minute of it. And I didn't quite get the dance routine right there at the end, but I enjoyed everything. Gotcha. And so I'm sitting here and I'm going 08. And so I'm reading through the sermons. It's Under a Bush, Levels of Friendship, The Great Story of Esther, My Son, Give Me Thine Heart, The Bible, The Two Gates, The 7 Symptoms of Godly Sorrow, Purity, God, You Need My Help, The Depravity of Man, This Is Not the Time Nor the Place, To What Purpose Is This Waste, Vexing the World, What Stops a Teenager from Living for God, I Am Hath Sent Me, Our Hidden Agenda, How to Live the Single Life, Sin Abounded, Grace Abounded More. Those are all the sermons I've preached in this church. And then there's one sermon title that I'm sitting here going, I have no idea what this is. You know what it says? Please call and find out. So I'm sitting here going, please call and find out. So I went to my laptop and I'm going, let me do a search. Maybe it's a sermon I totally forgot. So I'm typing in there, looking for the sermon title, please call and find out. So I'm like, man, I'm an idiot. And you know what it was? I forgot what sermon it was, so I wrote on the card next to the sermon, please call and find out. You know what the secretary thought? That I actually have a sermon that says, please call and find out. So, and I'll be honest with you, I brought 37 sermons with me on this trip, and I've been praying, and I already know what I'm preaching tomorrow morning, and I already know what I'm preaching tomorrow night. I knew what I was preaching last night and this morning, but this one sermon, I'm a little bit nervous because I can't place the sermon if I preach it here or not. And so if I have preached this before here, 2 things are very comforting. One, you won't remember it because you were half asleep when I preached it last time. and I won't remember it because I didn't write it down. So we will be just fine. Joshua, if you will. And Joshua, so if you have heard this here before, I deeply apologize. Just say amen. Amen. Joshua chapter 24. And Brother Hall, I can tell you this, your daughters have so disrupted the service during, you know, they keep rolling on the floor. They keep getting the spirit and eating all the popcorn. So Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 15. And have you noticed that all the preachers show up tonight and all the kids are good right now? Man, they were throwing and chunking chairs the other night, and it was like, get that preacher here. I know y'all are behaving right through here because Brother Watkins is sitting behind you. Come on now. I'm no dummy, and Brother Hall's got his eyes on y'all, so we are okay. Joshua chapter 24, verse number 15. Joshua 24 and verse number 15. Can y'all hear me okay out there? Good. Joshua 24 and verse number 15. Let's all stand, and I'm going to get right into it. It is, believe it or not, it is quarter to nine right now, if that is correct back there, and about 18 minutes till the hour, and I promise you, we'll get out. I have no idea, but I promise you, we'll get out. What is your name right there? I was giving a hard time, not you, the guy in front in blue shirt and tie. Greg. We were eating lunch today, and Greg's standing there, and he's quiet. And he has a can of soda in his hand. He's just quiet. And I said, you know what the look on that man's face is? That's a look of plotting for tonight. That's what that look is on his face. He's standing there thinking, how much paraphernalia can I gather to do a big prank tonight and really get somebody? So there's an extra roll of duct tape, and just duct tape him up, lay him in his bed, and he won't move till morning. Amen. Joshua chapter 24, and let's read this verse together out loud. Very famous verse, Joshua 24:15. Ready? Begin. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the God of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's very interesting. The little two words there, choose you. Amen. Choose you. And we're going to talk about it for the next ever so long. And so let's talk. I got to tell you this. You have made me want to get a bow tie. Seriously, you think I'm kidding? Where did Ethan go? You have made me want to get a bow tie. I'm going to get me a bow tie and a double-breasted suit, and I'm like, I'm going to wear my eye bobs, and Ethan and I are we're going on the circuit, amen? And we're going to do the Bob musical, amen? And anyways, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask for your help tonight. I ask for your help for a couple of reasons. And Lord, in my heart, I've already told you what those reasons are. And Lord, I need you right now. Lord, these young people need you. They didn't come here just to be entertained. They came thirsting, Lord, for you. And Lord, I think the laughter and the entertainment and just enjoying ourselves, I truly believe that it softens the spirit, the singing and the contest, it softens the spirit so that the Word of God can have its work. And Lord, thank you for such a great church and such great minds here that they yield to you and ask for exactly the right format, Lord, to get your Word across. Help me to do my part. Help me not to distract from the Holy Ghost of God. Lord, my prayer is so often to you. In time to come, these young people may forget who the messengers were tonight, but God, help them never to forget the message. Lord, help me to be that valley to where I give a door of hope. I give a door of encouragement. And God, bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. For whatever reason, life on a teenage level can get very complicated very quickly. That's the one reason why you take a seventh grader and where's the seventh grader? Give me a seventh grader, a seventh grade girl. Come here. You knew it was coming. Come here, shorty. And come all the way up here. You take a seventh grader and face the crowd. There you go. And she has a perpetual grin. All seventh graders do. Their life right now is not that complicated. However, Got a senior girl. Where's the senior girl at? And Red, come on up here. And no, the darker Red. And you knew it was coming. And if you'll come stand over here, if you don't mind. And a seventh grader, life is very, very uncomplicated. Very uncomplicated. But you take a senior, and if you'll notice, her grin is not, it's not as big as her grin. Her life is very easy. The biggest decision this girl has to make is who she's going to sit next to in the morning. The biggest decision this girl has to make is, I better get first in line to get the next cookie. The biggest decision this girl has to make is, I cannot wait to get to the church to go down the hill tomorrow. And it really doesn't matter what I'm wearing. I'm getting to that hill first, and I'm getting down that hill, and then I'm getting back up that hill, and then I'm going down that hill. Am I right? Because your mama right now is about ready to have a coronary. And did we talk about this before tonight? No. In fact, she's so anxious to go up there, she's going to sneak out of here tonight, go up there and get on the hill and just go down by herself. She's contemplating, can I go head first and be okay? Can I go feet first? Can I kind of go down the side? Can I get somebody on top of me and go down the hill? That is the biggest choices that this girl, she's in seventh grade. Her life really has no complications. Now you take her. Truly, life is complicated for her. And if I were to sit down and talk with her for just a little bit, the question you are just tired of hearing is probably this. What are you going to do after you graduate? See? Because now the choices and now the perplexity of life, the older you get, is a reason why you do not see very many older teenagers smiling. And one of the classic rookie mistakes that youth workers make with teenagers is this, is to interpret a somberness as a rebellion. And that is just not the case. Because here, she's no more thinking about high school graduation. She's thinking about, what are we eating after church? I better get my popcorn, and I better get to the top of that hill. And my mama told me not to go down that hill in these clothes, but I'm going to get away with it anyways. And she'll be half asleep on point three. She's not thinking that way. Right now, her life is such, are you a senior this year? Life is such that now the hill doesn't really thrill her. It may temporarily allure her, but as soon as she has downtime, her life just became more complicated. Because now it won't be that long before she'll be done with high school. Now she has to transition into the real world. I don't know if you have a job. Do you have a job? See, life's fixing to get more complicated. And now she understands, and she's understanding, that it takes money to be a senior in high school. And the resources for money, mom's only limited, dad's only limited. There's only so much money you can get. Listen very closely. When you're a seventh grader, you're all into the event, and you're all into it, and you don't care how you smell. Just kidding. I love that look. If you're a seventh grade girl, I mean guy, you wouldn't care how you smell. But you smell good. You know what you smell like? Popcorn. And that's what you smell like. Thank you. May have a seat. Give him a hand. If I could preach one sermon to help you simplify your life, and to help you simplify who you are. I'm going to ask you that you not take notes as much as listen tonight. God says, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day. The power of a choice and the power to choose is incredible. But let me tell you what this verse is not saying to you tonight. This verse is not telling you to choose where you're going to live. You may live in the Northeast. You may live in the Northwest. You may live in the South. You may live in the East Coast. You may live on the West Coast. You may live in Africa after your parents send you there. You may live in Asia. You may live in South America. You may live, and God forbid, in New York. But God is not telling you where to choose that you're going to live. God is telling you this, choose you this day whom you'll serve. Because who you serve will determine where you live. This verse is not telling you to choose where you'll go to college at. It's not telling you to choose. Some of you may not go to college. Some of you may go to a Christian college. Some of you may go someplace else. It's not telling you what major to choose. It's not telling you what minor to choose. It's not telling you how long to stay in college. All it's telling you to do is this: choose you this day who you're going to serve. Because who you serve will determine your future education. This verse is not telling you who to date and marry. You may marry somebody tall. You may marry somebody short. You may marry somebody fat. You may marry somebody skinny. You may marry somebody ugly. You may marry somebody pretty. You may marry somebody smart. And you may marry a blonde. You may marry somebody like your mother. You say, what's worse than a blonde? A redhead. You may marry somebody like your mother. You may marry somebody like your sister. You may marry a slob. You may marry a perfectionist. You may marry a clean freak. You may marry a dirty guy who doesn't care how he smells. You may marry someone with OCD. This verse is not telling you who to marry. This verse is telling you choose who you're going to serve, because who you're going to serve will determine who you marry. This verse is not telling you to choose your occupation. You may be a garbage collector. You may be a big game hunter. You may be a school teacher. You may be a preacher. You may be a fireman. You may be a missionary. You may be a stay-at-home mom. You may be an alligator wrestler. You may be a factory worker. You may be a professional hamburger flipper. You may be an engineer. You may be a cart pusher down at Walmart, or a greeter at the club he clubs at. But whatever your occupation is, God's not telling you right now to choose what you're going to do to make money. God is saying, choose you this day whom you're going to serve, because who you serve will determine how you make your money. This verse is not telling you where to live. You may live in a mansion. You may live in an apartment. You may live in a duplex. You may live in a trailer. You may live in a condo. You may live in a wood frame house. You may live in a brick house. You may live over a garage. You may live under the garage. You may live in an old house. You may live in an outhouse. This verse is not telling you to choose right now where you're going to live. It's telling you right now to choose who you're going to serve, because who you serve will determine where you live. This verse is not telling you to choose the kind of car you're going to drive. You may drive a Mercedes-Benz. You may drive a Lincoln Navigator. You may drive a Lamborghini. You may drive a Viper. You may drive a Ford. You may drive a Chevy. You may drive a Dodge. Have you noticed how I've been going down every step of the way? You may drive a Bug. Or you may drive a Yugo. Don't laugh. My very first brand new car was a Yugo. Are you a Yugo man? Wego, that's it. I'm not kidding. I was sitting with my dad one day, and I was right, Miss Breedlove, I was just turned 18, just graduated from high school, and my dad, this commercial came from for the Yugo. Off the lot, are you ready? $39.99. $3,999. A Yugo. You could not fit in a Yugo. It came in three basic colors: red, blue, and white. A Yugo. Honestly, it was no bigger than that rail right there. No longer than that rail. In fact, cut off about a foot, and that's how long it was. My dad was going out of town to preach, and I said, Dad, I need to get a car. My car is, the first car I owned was a beat-up Honda Civic, and it smoked everywhere, and smoke came through the vent, smoke came in the thing, and I had to stop. Seriously, I had to stop every couple of miles to let the smoke calm down so I could just hop it. And I was like, Dad, I got to get a new car. I got to get a different car. And so we saw this commercial. I'm sorry, we didn't watch TV. But we saw this commercial come across the TV, and it said, Yugo, Yugoslavian made. The engine sat sideways. You think I'm kidding? It was a great car. It was so light. It was so light that when I first got it, eight teenage guys picked it up and put it inside the playground. I walked out my car sitting in the playground inside a fence area. You think I'm kidding you? It was probably the lightest car ever. My dad said, there's a car, buy that. So he went out of town. I went right down to the bank. I said, Mrs. Ferguson, it's back before cell phones, any way you can get a hold of my dad. And I said, Mrs. Ferguson, she was a loan officer. And my dad said, buy a car. She said, are you sure, Bob? Absolutely. He'll sign the papers when he gets back in town. I lied through my teeth. She said, what kind of car do you want? I said, it's a Yugo. She went to the Blue Book and Kelly Blue Book, and she's looking up. She said, there's no such car. And I said, yeah, there is. Young Chevrolet in Dallas is selling Yugos. $39.99 plus tax and title, $39.99. And so she wrote me the check to go buy the 54 gallons to the miles to the gallon. 54. The only thing they didn't tell you was this. You have to use high-grade gas or you got 2 miles to the gallon. Trust me, I'm an expert on Yugos. Brought that thing home. I was dating my wife at the time. She looked at me and she said, I am not marrying you as long as you own that car. The height of insult was this. My dad came back from town, brand new red with tan fake interior, and is sitting there in the driveway. My dad comes in, he said, what fool bought that car? Dad, what do you mean fool? You told me to buy it. He goes, you're an idiot. And then he got the phone call from East Texas Professional. Miss Ferguson says, you need to come down and sign some papers. I know, the moment he walked in, what fool got that car? The phone rings, he picks it up. The look on his face went, hey, Miss Ferguson, how's it going to? I'll be down. He said, you take that car back. And I said, I can't. I signed, you have to go sign. He said, I hate you. God's not telling you to choose what kind of car you're going to drive. God's telling you to choose who you're going to serve. Because who you serve will determine where you live, where you go to college, who you date and marry, where you're going to live, what kind of house you're going to live in, what kind of car you're going to drive. God's not even telling you teenagers to choose your style. You may like a 60s style. Peace, love, tranquility, groovy, baby. You may love the 60s. You may love the 70s with the bell-bottom pants and the white big belt. You may love the 80s. Put your hand over your heart, because anybody who was a teenager in the 80s, they were cool. Don't give me the cool today. Pants hanging away. We were cool. We peg-legged our britches. We were cool. We wore dock shoes with no socks and hairy legs sticking out. Come on now. We were cool. My very first time to San Francisco, California in the 80s, I had me white parachute pants. Are you with me right there? White parachute pants, white tennis shoes, no socks, a white shirt with pink stripes, and forgot what city I was wearing this in. Came out of the hotel, and I'm like walking down the street enjoying San Francisco, and I heard a I'm thinking, oh yeah, I got the girl's attention now. Only to find out it was some, you know, standing in a door thing, and honestly, turned around, I'm like, I gotta get back to the hotel. God's not asking for you to choose anything else but who you're gonna serve. The main decision you have to make as a teenager is not all the decisions that you think you have to make. The decisions you think are pressing you right now are not decisions you have to make. You don't have to decide to get married. You don't have to decide what kind of house you're going to buy. You don't have to decide what kind of job you're going to get. Stop worrying about the job. Stop worrying about the woman. Stop worrying about the car. Stop worrying about the education. And you simply hook your life to Jesus Christ and choose God and choose Jesus Christ. And you'll get everything that God has for you, and it'll be the American dream. Let me give you several things that about this verse. I'll give you 5 things from this verse, and then I'm done. First of all, does it seem evil to serve the Lord? The very first thing that Joshua comes out of this verse is this. And think about it, young people. He said this. He said, if it, look at it, if you don't mind, look at it. And if it seem evil. He didn't say bad. He didn't say if it seem unwise. He didn't even say if it seems sinful. He chose the most wicked word to use, and that is this, evil. He said, I want you to put Jesus Christ on that side with the sodomites. And if you feel about serving Jesus Christ like you feel hanging out with the sodomites, then don't serve them. He said, put them over there with all the drunken vomiters that spend their night in the bar and get swollen eyes and throw up in their vomit on the streets of downtown Orlando. And put Jesus Christ there. And if you think it's he's that bad that you wouldn't spend time with him, then choose somebody else. In your mind, is it really going to be that bad choosing God? What is holding you back from making that decision to completely sell out to God? You say, well, it's an evil thing. Seriously, you seriously think that God comes down with everybody who says, I'm going to serve God, and punishes them with an ugly mate? Think about it. It's almost as if when you come to the altar and you say, I'm going to give my life to God, it's like, I know what this means, God. And you died on the cross for me, and I'm ready to sacrifice for you. I just know it. You're going to give me the ugliest woman. Because all ugly women are reserved for those who serve thee. Through trial and flood. God, I know what that thorn was in Paul's side that he asked you three times. It was not only that ugly wife, but it was that ugly mother-in-law. You really think that God is going to come down and do you dirty the moment you say, I'll serve you? He said, do you really think? And Joshua's standing here looking at him and going, if you think it's an evil thing, if you think at the moment you say, I'm going to serve God, that God all of a sudden goes, oh, oh, we got him now. Ugly mates, ugly children. Send them to Africa to live in a jungle. Bone-eating people will meet them. Yes. Do you know the only reason that you think that is because you obviously have heard poor-mouthing Baptist preachers that talk about how bad it is. Can I tell you something? It's a grand thing to be a Christian. It's the best thing I know. It's a grand thing to follow Jesus. Sing it anywhere and everywhere we go. Oh, it's a grand thing to be a soldier in his army here. Be. Sing it. It's the grandest thing. Oh, it's the best thing. Let me tell you something. Nobody's ever been done wrong by God when they go to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Joshua said, if it seems like a drunken sodomite party, then don't serve them. But that's not serving God. Choose him. God's not asking you right now at 13 to choose your mate. God's not asking you at 15 to choose one of these idiots. God's not asking you at 16 to choose one of these emotional creatures that can't make up their mind if they're having a good day or a bad day. Only a woman can look at you and say, I love you and I hate you in the same 5 minutes and mean both of them. God's saying, am I really that bad that you don't want to hang out with me. I was preaching a youth conference several months back. And I got there like I am now. And I guess that something was wrong with me. So I was seriously thinking by the end of this conference, something was really wrong with me. Usually I can adapt to people. So I walked into the auditorium, and as usual, American Airlines was late. No matter where I go, I'm late. So I rushed in, and I'm sitting there. So I sit down in a row with some teenage girls. And so I just, I'm late, and there's about five seats between me and them. And I just looked down the row, and I said, "Hey, girls, how you doing?" They all looked at me and went, and literally turned their back. And I thought to myself, okay. So on the other side were some teenage guys. Like, "Hey, guys, how you doing?" They looked at me, they looked at my shoes, looked at me, and looked that way. I was thinking, wow. So the pastor says, "Brother Gray's here to preach. Come on up, see what you can do." "Record this one." So I came up from behind the pulpit and I said, so I tried to tell some jokes, a little tap dancing and a little walking out the side door. And because I had to go use the restroom and I just can't believe I told you where I went. And walking out the side door, I said to them, I said, "Hey, I want to be in the skit." And just like the Andrew said, "We need a transvestite." Sorry, I got to go. And hey, I'm just kidding. I shouldn't have said that. Cut that out of the tape. And it's almost like the whole conference, it was like, did I do something wrong? Do you know what it was? They thought they were inviting my dad. And when I showed up, it was like, oh. Well, oh to you too. Do you know what Christ is saying here to you and I? He said, if it seems evil, if it's a bad idea to hang out with me, if you think I'm going to harm you at some point, if you think I'm going to tear your life up, if you think I'm going to make you poor, if you think you'll regret it at the end, if you think that I will do you dirty, then don't choose me. And God is saying here in his word, through Joshua, if it seem evil to you right now, and you think at some point I'm going to turn you on to dope, and I'm going to turn you on to immorality, and I'm going to turn you on to being a drunk, and I'm going to turn you into the divorce court, and I'm just going to ruin your life, then don't choose me. But I can tell you right now, after serving him for since I was 17 years of age and being in church since I was born, he has never done me evil. The second thing this verse is telling us is this. It's a choice that must be made. Watch this right now. He said, choose you this day. Teenagers, stop waiting for a better deal to come along. Stop sitting here going, well, I'm a senior in high school. I may get the scholarship. Stop waiting for a better deal to come along. There's no better deal coming your way in life than it is right now. And it's called God. And it's called God's grace. And it's called God's love. And it's called God's mercy. And it's called God. Stop playing God like you would the lottery, and stop playing God like you would something else to better come along. Well, Pastor, because something better might come along. There's nothing better coming along your way than what you're finding out right now. It's a grand thing to be a Christian. It's a good thing to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a good thing to walk the altar and be a virgin and be pure and clean when you get married. There is no better thing coming along. He said, you choose right now. Right now you choose. Take every possibility in your life of what you could get. And God said, choose me right now. Don't wait to see how life's going to turn out. Choose me right now. Don't wait to see who you're going to marry. Choose me right now. Don't wait to see what kind of income you can make with your life. You choose me right now. And when we get over the fear of choosing God, it's almost like preachers have to convince you to choose him. It's almost like you want us to pull out our big bankroll. Just pulled mine out. 5, 6, 7, 8. You're impressed, aren't you? You know what God's saying? Don't wait to see what's behind door number one. I want you to choose me right now. You say, but Pastor, Brother Bob, what if there's something better outside of church? God said this, choose me right now. All your dreams ahead of you, all your plans ahead of you, everything you've got going on in your life, choose me right now. I was preaching this particular sermon. I'm taking my money back because it's my bankroll. I was preaching this particular sermon in a youth conference a couple years ago. And I preached it just like I'm preaching it right now. And a young man come walking down the aisle the next night and walked up with 5 letters of scholarships to universities. He said, my entire way is paved. I don't have to pay a thing. He said, but I'm choosing God. And I'll let God determine what happens with me. You see, God is saying this. Before you walk out, you have to choose. And right now, that fear on the inside, and part of you as a Christian because you're born again, is going, I really want to choose. I really want to choose him. But if I choose him, I lose my girl. If I choose him, I lose my life. If I choose him, I lose my dreams. If I choose him, I may not get another chance. This is the only chance I have to walk through this door. And you're absolutely right. This is the only chance you have sometimes to walk right through the door. Just choose God. Amen. Let him figure out the rest of it. Amen. Now, I've only been preaching now for less than 30 minutes, so we're okay. Y'all hang in there. I'll be done in time for you to get your popcorn and go down the slide and you better be right there with her. Amen. Third thing I'd like to tell you this verse says is not only does it seem evil to serve the Lord. Number two, the second thing this verse says, it's a choice that must be made right now. Third thing, you must choose between two people. You've got to choose between two people. There in Joshua 24, verse 15 says, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites. It's not a choice between two lifestyles. It's a choice between two gods. It's not a choice between what music is right. It's a choice between God and his music or Satan and his music. It's not a choice between two dress styles of modesty or immodesty. It's a choice between God and modesty or the Satan and immodesty. Let's not confuse the issue. It's not the choice of hamburgers at the restaurant. It's the choice of restaurants. It's not the choice of any travel. It's the choice of, a bus or a plane. It's the choice of who you're going to go with. And the choice has got to be made between two people. And if you do not choose God, you automatically choose Beelzebub. If you do not choose God, you automatically choose Satan. If you do not choose God, you automatically choose the devil and the devils of hell and everything they've got to do. It's a choice between two. And I hate it when people say, and I've experienced this as pastor, I love you, pastor, but I'm not rejecting you, pastor, but. You know what I told someone the other day? The choice is between me and the world's God. Don't give me this, you love me, but you're going to go down to movies. Because it's not a choice between two lifestyles. And some of you right now are fooling yourself to think that I can smooch on God on Sunday and dance with the devil on Monday. It's not how it works. Well, I can cuss it up on Thursday and then be a good little church boy on Sunday. It doesn't work that way. Because you are either choosing God or you're choosing the devil. Some of you got lipstick prints from the devil on your spiritual cheek. And you're trying to make us think, well, you know, we just have a difference of opinion about music. No, we don't. It's either spawned in hell or it's created in heaven. Well, we just have a difference in how short's too short on the skirts. Nah, it's either God's modesty or the devil's revealing. Well, we just have a difference on what touching is in the Bible between a boy and a girl. It's either a heavenly distance or a hellish connection. Let me tell you something. It's a choice between two. And God said, you're either going to choose me right now, or you're going to choose the gods on the other side of the flood, or the gods in the land you dwell. But don't insult me, and don't insult my intelligence by thinking you can run with these gods and still love me. It's a choice between two. What the old prophet said that you went to hear at a meeting that wasn't there. A dancing foot and a praying knee don't grow on the same spiritual leg. So what's the verse telling us? The verse is telling us, first of all, does it seem evil to serve the Lord? Second, it's a choice that must be made right now. Third, it's a choice between two people. Number four, you are choosing for you and your house. Do you realize what this means, young people? That if you decide to leave this youth conference and you don't sell out to God and you don't give God first place in your life, that you've just chosen your mate. If you leave here and do not sell out to God, you have just chosen your husband. And you've chosen a husband that will be a lover of the gods of this world. And if you leave here and don't choose God, you have just chosen your wife. And she will be a lover of the gods of this world. You got to choose. I hate to tell you this. Nobody leaves here tonight without choosing. My mom. First time my mom was ever in a Baptist church. And those of you who heard my dad preach before, you've heard the story. And first time my mom was ever in a Baptist church, the young evangelist preached on hell. Scared my mom so bad. He took his Bible and put it by the back door, the side door, the only entrance in the building. Only entrance. And he said, if you leave this building not saved, you have to walk over God's word to do it, and you'll go to hell. My mom got so scared that she went to the bathroom and climbed out the bathroom window. Staying in the parking lot. I put a Bible at every entrance, and they don't have windows on their bathrooms. If you leave here tonight and you don't make a conscious decision to serve him, then you've just chosen your future. I talked about it last night. A future you have not yet to see. You ever wonder who you're going to marry? Come on now. Don't look at me that way. Straighten up the halos. Have you ever looked at the guys on this side and go, nope, 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 no. Guys, have you ever looked at the girls on this side and say, nada, nine, not going to happen, ain't no way. My dad always told me, son, you want to know what kind of wife you're going to have when she gets older? Look at her mother now. A lot of girls I passed up when I looked at their mother. That's okay. I have just gotten myself in trouble. Bad Bob, bad Bob. But you're choosing. You're choosing where you're going to raise your kids at. Down at the Critters, which I love the name of that bar. In fact, on my way home, I'm pulling the potato in there and I'm taking a picture of the Critter sign and what is standing out front. Because truly the devil knows how to name his joints. Have you seen the Critters going in and out? I would never say that to them because they drive nice big Harleys. But you are. Whoever you choose, you're choosing where your kids are going to play. Around broken beer bottles or around the house of God. You're choosing what kind of family reunions you're going to have. And you're choosing the drink that will be at those family reunions. You're just not choosing just to be choosing. You're choosing God. And Joshua said, choose. And you choose for your house. Now, you may not enjoy the preaching as much as what you thought you would do, but you know it's got to be the truth because the devil is a liar, which brings me to the last point. Are you ready? 9:20, and we're doing okay. My goal is to be out of here by 9:30 in the morning. You are choosing your master. You are choosing your master. Look what it says there. As for me and my house, we will, what's the next word? Serve. You're choosing your master. I'm from the South. In Jasper, Texas is probably the most racially hotbed of the South. They hooked a black gentleman to the bumper of their truck and they drug him through the town about 8-9 years ago. People don't understand that in the South, it is a very, still a very racially divided community. And I'll tell you this much, that's straight out of hell because God created everybody. I was standing in line the other day in a deep East Texas town. I went down to do a funeral in one of those kind of towns where you drive for miles and there's only a store. Store in the middle of nowhere. And I walked in and it was just me and a couple of farmers in there, a couple of rednecks, and I say that very respectfully, they were just rednecks. I mean, I can say that, I'm from the area. It doesn't mean they have a sunburn on the back of their neck. It means that they take their hound dog with them everywhere they go. They're in overalls. They have shotguns in the back window. And they're rednecks. That's all there is to. You know, because it goes Americans, rednecks, Floridians. I'm kidding. And, just kidding. It's a grand thing. And we were standing there, and I was getting some gas, and I thought I'd get me something to drink. And this black gentleman walked in. And I heard one of these guys over here say the word boy. Hey, boy. Y'all are too young to remember. Now those are fighting words. And I saw the elderly gentleman look at those guys, and I was about ready to step in on his behalf. But obviously he had come through segregation, and he had come through the civil rights movement. And he said the most profound thing I've ever heard a black gentleman say in his defense, because I was getting ready to jump in and take on the rednecks, because there's no reason for that. And he said this. He looked at him and he said, boy, did you call me boy? And all of a sudden that old hillbilly started squirming. He walked right up to their table, put his hands on the table, and he said, boy. You called me boy. So let me tell you something. I'm not a boy. I'm a man. And I'm an American. And I pay taxes just like you do. Now, if you think I'm a boy, let's just take it outside. The man was in his 70s. Then he said this, because this free boy has a shotgun in his free truck. And there's nobody out here to stop this boy. Hey, let me tell you something. I got my drink. You know what I said? I'm in. We sit on tailgates in Texas. Give me a tailgate. I'm in. This I gotta see. Let me tell you something. You're going to be somebody's slave. Somebody's going to be your master. And it's either going to be the Lord Jesus Christ, but he sets his free. Or it's going to be the devil. And he always abuses his. Always. Whom the Son has set free, they are what? Free indeed. In Christ, there's liberty. He bought us. He paid for us. And what Joshua was saying was this. You want true freedom, then you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you study the gods, think about it. If you study the gods during that time, they believed in child sacrifice and you had no choice. They would take the baby and they would sacrifice it in fire. Molech, they would sacrifice it. And God's saying, if you want to be a true slave, then serve those gods. But if you want to be free to enjoy the promised land and free to enjoy the grapes and free to enjoy the towns. And he said, you understand the promised land? All the towns are done. All the rivers are done. All the infrastructure's done. Just go live in the land. That's my possession to you. And I'm here to tell you this. And I know I've overstepped my boundaries, but you listen to me. I made up my mind. Looking at one guy, I'm going to choose God. And I didn't choose God because my daddy chose God and because my mama chose God. I chose God because I could not see that he would do me evil. And I knew I couldn't choose him after a better deal came along because there is no better deal. And I knew I had to choose right now. And I had to choose for me. And I had to choose for who I was going to marry. And my choice I made at 17 chose the wife I have today. And the choice I made at 17 chose the kind of family reunions I have today. And the reason there's wreck and ruin in our society is because they came to the place of a choice. And they didn't choose God. You're choosing. Who are you going to choose? Let's uncomplicate your life right now. You don't have to choose. What if I get the wrong mate? What if I get the wrong job? What if I get the... Choose God and let the rest of it work itself out. I'll tell you the story. I told it here 3 or 4 years ago. But you know how my wife, and we're best friends, and we've been best friends since we were in second grade. And, you know, I was sitting in chapel one day in Bible college, and preacher was getting crazy. I got 3 minutes. I'm watching the clock, so you're okay. I said 9:30. I'll be done. Okay, here we go. First, second, all in favor say aye. And no, because I'm hungry for popcorn. And I'm going down the slide tonight. And sitting there, and the preacher got preaching hard, and amen! I said, I was enjoying the preaching. Looked down at my wife, which was my friend at the time, was like that. And then she got this grin on her face. And I thought to myself, she likes that. Do you know there are 100 ways to say amen? Amen. Oh, yeah. Do you know that when you choose God, you become very attractive to people who love God? But when you don't choose him, then that's the reason you guys sometimes have a problem with the bad girls being attracted to you. I like that one, didn't you? What grade are you in? Huh? Seventh grade? Come here and give me knuckles on that one. Come on, come on, come here. No, no, come on up here. Give me knuckles. Give me knuckles. Are you ready? Here's the art. No, come back. Come back here. Come back here. You ready? Knuckles. Shake. Fries. Oh, yeah. Okay. Because there is a reason why you're attractive to somebody. I was back there eating a banana. I'm done right now. Debbie said, you know, if you eat a banana, you eat a lot of bananas, that mosquitoes like sucking your blood. Mosquitoes love people who eat bananas. I mean, they attack people who eat bananas. I've eaten 3 bananas since I've been here. I'm worried to walk out because the frogs don't get me from the baptistry. The mosquitoes are going to get me out front. I'm going to ask you a question. Are you fooling around right now in trying to decide who you're going to choose? Has there been a day where you finally closed the door on all the gods and you just simply said, I'm choosing God Jehovah. And once and for all, I'm done playing games. I'm done trying to figure this out. I'm just going to choose God. Heads bowed and eyes closed, please, with your heads bowed and eyes closed. I kept my word. It's 9:30 right now. You've been very, very respectful. You've been very, very kind. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, let me ask you a question. How many would say, Pastor, Brother Bob, I need to finally, once and for all, choose God. I need to be done playing around. I have been playing this thing of the Christian life, and I'm done with it. I'm finally going to choose God, and I'm not going to wait for a better deal. And serving God is not an evil thing to me. Serving God, he won't do me evil. And you know what's really crazy about this teenager is that I'm not looking for everybody. If nobody or one person or a dozen finally make that decision, then it's well worth the trip because you heard God's word. If you would say tonight, Brother Bob, that's me, I am going to finally choose God, would you raise your hand? That's my choice. I'm done playing around. I'm going to step out and choose him. Now, I want everyone to stand, please, with the pianist and organist playing. I want you to come find a place at an old-fashioned altar. Let the Lord know that you do not think it's evil to serve him. You're going to serve him. You're not going to wait for a better deal to come along. You're going to serve him. You are turning your back on whatever you may decide, and you're going to let God choose for you. And you're going to serve him. It's your choice. I'm going to choose to serve God. I'm going to be his slave for the rest of my life. I'm going to let him be my master.